Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Extra, extra.
It is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Jordan Mailata show coming up at 6. Should be an interesting one with Jordan Elliott, myself, and the Players Lounge. Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliott, and this week's guest, Tanner McKee. Jack's QB1, Tanner McKee.
You got to keep Fritz away from
it. Yeah.
We're all a little curious.
This segment sponsored by NJM Insurance. All right, so the game is 3 days old, but the two-point conversion decision was a hotly contested decision. So the Eagles at that point are down 15 points, mm-hmm. need two touchdowns. In one of the two touchdowns, if they would score at that point, they would in at least one of those two scenarios, if they only had two possessions, they would need to get 8 points. The Eagles decide to go for the two-point conversion on the first one. They fail. Ike, I assume you would have just gone for one. There.
Yeah, no, I want to hear why that was the right decision.
Do you really?
Yes.
Okay. So,
because 90% of us are on the same side of this thing.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
And that's on the side of kick the extra point.
Now, you know that I am comfortable being the 10%.
Of course you are. Okay. That's right. And that's why I assume that's where you are.
You live in the 10%.
I live in the 10%.
Yeah.
So while I understand the agreement, the desire to go for one, the reason you go for two is you need to get to in at least one of those possessions. If you don't get to in the final possession, mm-hmm. you probably don't have any time to do anything about it. So if you go for two in the first one, if you get it, great. If you don't get it, at least you have 3 or 4 minutes to try to strategize for how you're going to play the rest of the game. If you don't get to in the final possession, if you leave it for then, you have no recourse. So the reason to go for two the first time is because at least you are presented with a chance to get two onside kicks if that's what you need to do, or get one onside kick. If it just happens in the final possession, you do it there, you have no opportunity to do anything. So that Assuming all the time is gone, yes.
Right.
Preparing for that scenario. And I do think the other thing is it is kind of funny to me that everyone just assumes you're going to get two if you go for it the second time, but everybody just assumes you won't get two if you go for it the first time, where you've just scored, the offense has just looked good, maybe you have some rhythm, like going for it then. So that is the reason to go for it. I agree with it. Do you want to present the case to just kick it?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obvious. You give yourself a little hope with that final possession of something to actually fight for. So what the analytics numbers, and I'm not saying that's what you use, but I know a lot of people used those numbers to say to justify why you would go for it there. It doesn't account for the human element of what that does from a deflating standpoint.
If you don't get it.
If you don't get the 2 points there. Onside kicks are already almost impossible to get.
In the current NFL, they're very difficult.
Yeah. Yes.
I think 3% of them or something are
I actually saw one yesterday because Miami messed around and the ball hit off one of the players' shin. And New Orleans got the ball.
Is that how they didn't cover? I thought I had that covered.
Yeah.
That was one of my
That was actually a crazy ending to that game because New Orleans could have actually tied it up. Miami picked it off on a two-point conversion and ran it back for
points. And that's where the 2 points came from.
Yes, that's where the extra 2 points came in. But I would have done that just so that I know it's an eight-point game. And I believe from a morale standpoint and a sort of momentum standpoint, that defense may go out there thinking, we just need to get a stop. We need to get a three and out, get the ball back to our offense. And to your point about if they don't get it there, well, you can get the ball back. Now you have to score quickly and then try to get the onside kick. So either way, if you don't get it, you're going to need that onside kick.
Yes, unless this would be, I guess this is the way that I would look at it in that situation. Mm-hmm. If I get the seven and I get the ball again and I'm trying to score at the end there, mm-hmm. what I'm probably trying to do is not give the other team a chance to get the ball back. So I'm probably playing that to be the end of the game, mm-hmm. would be my guess. So
sure.
So the opportunity to get the onside kick after that, that seems less likely to mm-hmm. me. Now, look, if you don't get the 2 points, whenever you don't get them, their chances of winning the game were very slim.
We're
very slim anyway.
Yep.
This is a team that couldn't score any touchdowns, that all of a sudden have to score two touchdowns in 4 minutes,
right.
You know, is tough anyway. But that is and Jack, I assume you are on the just kick the one as well.
Well, yeah. They had what? It would have been four timeouts, essentially, because they had a two-minute warning.
The two-minute warning.
And they had three timeouts.
Okay.
Well, it's just like I would trust their ability to get a stop in that situation.
Yes, but you need a stop anyway.
Yeah, but I hate the idea of just ending the game.
They
just
it didn't end the game, but if you got 2 points, it wouldn't have just ended the game.
Yeah, but they just ended the game there.
He's saying would have been a 9-point lead. That essentially ended the game.
But you know, if you don't get the two in the last possession, that ends the game too.
I want to make the other team sweat a little bit. Like
you could also put pressure on them, yes.
To have to make plays at the end of the game. And the Eagles have shown an ability to win games late. They do have
Goddard and AJ were open in the 2-point conversion, and QB1 should have thrown the damn ball, and we would have gotten the 2 points anyway.
But it didn't happen.
Yes, it didn't happen.
like all of those things. I'm not saying it was a bad play call. I'm just saying for an offense that struggles to execute, you're putting a lot of faith that that's going to happen on the 2-point conversion as well.
Yes, you're just putting the faith in it on a later 2-point conversion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. All right, we got through
it. I think we just more or less look at it that we wish that last possession would have been a 1-possession game versus it being a 2-possession.
The one thing I can't account for, and there's no numbers for it, you're the only one of the three of us that played in the NFL and could know how it felt. I can't account for how it feels. I have no idea. You know, everyone who's talking about the morale on the sideline, most people talking about that have not been there.
Been in that situation,
so they don't know what the morale is going to be, whether it is good, bad, or indifferent. I have no idea.
I'm going to tell you why.
From a strategy standpoint, going for two first seems like the right thing to do to me.
I believe the morale was deflated. Look at the possession Chicago had. They picked up the first downs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we couldn't get the ball back.
Right.
I don't even know, did we ever get the ball back? They ran the clock out, right? Or did we get it back? Oh, that's right. They wound up having to punt.
They did punt.
Like a minute left or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got, I think they got
Caleb picked up the first down with the run.
He did.
To the left side.
To the left side. Yeah.
Also, I don't know, the offense didn't look ready to go either. I thought they might have been caught off guard by going for two there as well. It didn't look like it was the plan, I guess.
So
it was rushed.
And I'm sure Nick will be asked about it. So Sirianni was asked about it after the game. We will bring you Sirianni talking. He is talking for the first time since Friday.
Yeah.
We will bring that to you live.
You better have all the answers, Spike.
And hopefully there better be some good questions in there. I just want to put a little pressure on our Eagles Insider of the Year candidates.
No more time for, God, Nick, you just win all the time.
Yeah,
how do you do that? Yeah.
How do you do that? How do you do so much winning?
Yeah.
Nick, how do you do the winning?
It's so amazing. You guys don't turn the ball over, you win all the time.
Yeah. Nick, you turn the ball over now. How do you?
What
were you doing before to not turn the ball over?
Is the greatest trick this team's ever pulled on this city the idea that all you have to do is not turn the ball over?
I'm going to tell you, since you guys brought up turnovers.
Thank you. Yeah.
Might have been the singular worst play in the game was fumbling.
The tush push.
The tush push.
That was rough.
We had just got a big interception from Jalix Hunt.
That was 58 making a play.
Two nice runs by Saquon to get it to third and one. And we fumbled.
And that's what we all want him to do. We all want him to run the tush push there.
Yeah. Yeah. You can blame that on Ike.
We fumbled the tush push.
You can blame that. You can blame the long tush push on Ike.
Man, that was.
You had third and two the week before you wanted two tush pushes.
I did. And they said, all right, Ike, here you go.
Yeah. Here, Dan, take it.
All right.
Man.
There's your tush push.
That was bad.
It's a Let It Out Monday on the WIP Afternoon Show. Whatever, if you think they're dead, if you want to blame Petula, if you want to blame Sirianni, Jalen, whatever you want. 215-592-9494. Speaking of Sirianni, he will speak in the next 20 minutes, and we will bring that for you as well. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Of course, it is Cyber Monday. Chickies and Pete's double bonus days. You get two $10 bonus cards for every $50 you spend on gift cards at Chickies and Pete's. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
The FanDuel Sportsbook app in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is your home for all your favorite NFL bets. From yards to touchdowns to who will win, with FanDuel, any play can be the play of the game. Tonight, FanDuel is giving all customers a 30% profit boost token. That's right, you can get in on the action with a 30% profit boost token this Monday night. So make FanDuel your go-to app for any snap. Just visit FanDuel.com/Ike to bet on the game. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94WIP.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
No. No. Go on, man.
Nah,
this Wait till the beat drops.
Nah, this one's a no.
Hold on.
Nah, this one's a no. Nah, this sucks.
Taz like this one.
Yeah, that's music.
Taz drives an F-150.
Now, this is relatable.
Yeah. Now.
Come on, man.
Nope. It's a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies in South Philly. I'm going to give you my honest thoughts every time we do 330 Country.
Come on, man.
No. Check out all the Eagles action in the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles, Chickies and Pete's. Coming up, Nick Sirianni will speak. We will bring it to you live. Coach's press conference sponsored by PDQ Signature Systems. If you're in the restaurant, hospitality, or casino business, you need a PDQ POS system. With PDQ POS, you sell more, earn more, and work less. If you want the best, trust PDQ POS. Visit PDQPOS.com. It's just that when it's the horse say the road in a ball, and I got it, it's all it do. And I got in my truck and I said goodbye and then I walk into Churdy Doo.
It's like a dew and a bow and a sea and a dog good, and man. I got my haughty dog. And then a dew and a bow and a bounty dog and then a goldie and a 40 ball. No, pass.
Dude, I don't think you said one yes. real word there, and but that sounded just like a good song.
Right, wouldn't have known the difference. Wouldn't have known the difference. So I'm sure
that's music, man. You can't relate to that?
Relate to it? What do you relate to? You're from Westchester.
He didn't say one real word, but yeah. Hey, it sounded like a country
and song. And he didn't mix in the blue
that's
jeans.
That's how it sounds like, yeah.
Blue jeans or ice cold beer.
Yeah, ice cold beer in a bigger truck. I put my jeans on and saw my girl.
Yeah, hold on. You want to get in the lab?
So Nick Sirianni, we'll talk in a minute. Man. He was asked on Friday after the game whether he is considering a change of play caller. I'm sure he will be asked again.
He shut by the way, it was the quickest answer I think I've ever heard him.
Yeah. Nope.
He was waiting on it.
Nope.
He didn't talk around it.
Nope. Not doing it.
Nothing. He said
straight to the point.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah. He will be asked again. We'll talk about it after. We'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it after. We'll let him answer first and make sure it's not going to happen. 215-592-9494. Ted and Berwyn, you're on WIP.
Man, you just ruined country music for so many people who are country music curious. Yeah. After listening to that, they're like, no, I'll never listen to it ever again.
Good, you know? Good.
Do you realize what you just did?
Yeah,
good.
Country music is so great, but you just ruined it for all those cheery ones.
Wow, we all knew it. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, come on, man. Yeah. I didn't.
I thought he sounded pretty good.
Yeah, look. Come on.
There's a formula.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess we have to be charitable to each other today. Hey, three quick things. Number one, no matter how bad you think this is, it's worse because their offense sputtered and did nothing against two of the worst defenses, Chicago and Dallas. So the defenses they're going to face in the rest of the games are better than the two that we couldn't even score upon, first of all. That's my first point. So it's actually worse than a lot of people are even thinking because they're not thinking how crappy those defenses that we couldn't even score upon are.
Yeah, I mean, when we were talking to all of our experts, they were the last 2 weeks, and specifically against the Bears, everyone's like, if there's going to be a get-right game, it's going to be. By the way, the Bears are missing all their linebackers.
Dude, weren't they down to the fifth linebacker?
Yeah,
they
were. This point has to be emphasized.
Yeah, wouldn't know.
No, it looked like Urlacher and Briggs out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's to all Eagles fans, it's actually a worse situation than you even think. So my second point is, and this is what...
Well, how are you going to top that one?
Well, I haven't heard this talked about. To me, it's so glaringly obvious. Whenever the other team is like a 3rd and 12 or a 3rd and 15, I always see them make the third down, make the first down on a pass over the middle. Jalen does not throw over the middle. When you throw over, a quarterback has to throw over the middle. The receiver can gain an extra 10 or 15 yards sometimes. And I haven't heard this discussed. I don't understand. A requirement for a NFL quarterback to throw over the middle. How many times have you seen him throw over the middle to Goddard recently? You haven't seen it.
How many times have we seen it throughout his career?
Yeah, it's been like
this
his whole
career. He doesn't throw over the middle. Yeah,
especially the short to mid middle. Yeah.
To me, that's a disqualifier. I mean, you have to be able to throw over the middle. I mean, all the defenses notice that and go, oh, this guy doesn't throw over the middle. And you know, I every other quarterback I see does that and have a success with it. Jalen doesn't do that. So I don't know how we can win.
Well, they've already won a Super Bowl the same way.
They
went to two.
Well,
It more difficult. It makes it more difficult. Ted, to your point, to me, the throwing over the middle thing is like, why won't Ben Simmons get fouled and go to the line? It's there.
Not a bad one.
It's right there. You're like, everybody's like, wait a minute, you're bigger and stronger than everybody else. And with the go over the middle, you're like, well, AJ thrives there, and Devontae thrives there, and Goddard thrives there. And I looked at all the routes that AJ ran. He ran plenty of them on Friday. And I think it was two things. One, he is risk averse, and there's more risk throwing into the middle of the field. And two, those decisions come quickly. And he flinches on him. And the minute you flinch, it's too late. And it is that one AJ reception where he threw it to them almost at the end of the route, and it just sort of stopped there. But if he had thrown it earlier, then A.J. probably catches it on the run, and maybe you have a 25-yard gain. Instead, you have a 6-yard gain. To your point, Ted, it makes it harder. And this is when we think about criticisms of Kevin Petullo, we just have to think about the parameters with which he is calling the plays, especially with the run game not working. It makes it difficult. That isn't to say he's a good offensive coordinator. I actually don't know. I could just see a world in which calling an offense like this is difficult, especially when there are guys open and we're not getting it to them.
That's fine. I just don't see how we can, you know, going forward win if you're not going to throw a slant to AJ, you know, 8 or 9 yards in the middle and Goddard and just do that. I every other quarterback can do it, but we can't. You know, I just don't get that. But
and what was your third thing? You know,
I had to. What's that?
You said you had three things. I think that was the second.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the third thing was just, you know, if we can't throw over the middle, then I think with Jalen Canton, we need another quarterback in there. You know, that's how strong I feel how we have to throw over the middle. I mean, that's when you rule out throwing. Think about that. Just think about that.
Ted. He's been here 5 years. It's the same issue every year. He's gone to 2 Super Bowls and won one, playing the same way. Those are facts. This isn't something that's newly developed. You're saying we can't win that way, and I'm telling you he's already won that way.
Well, it's hard to argue against that, Ike, you know, your point there. But, you know, I just watching a game, so frustrated because I see every other quarterback throw it in the middle. The receiver then gains an extra 10 yards because he has room to run. But we can't do that. You know, it just gets frustrating.
You know what? I agree with you, and I understand it. My only thing is that we act like this is new information, is my point. I think people are coming to the realization.
Yes.
That's what it is. This isn't new information, though.
No.
this isn't new information. Like, he's never thrown the ball. And it's not the first time it's been brought up either.
No, he said no one's talked about it. I can guarantee you.
It's been talked about a lot.
Yeah, it's been talked about.
I think the thing with Jalen this season is, and we've talked about it a number of times, that, and you had mentioned, you had hoped that you would see sort of a move forward from a passing standpoint. We didn't see it. So we know what he does well and what he doesn't do.
Let me tell you what's happened with me this year, Spike.
Yeah.
I've come to the realization that this is probably, or last year, whatever it was, whatever you want to call it, is the best it's going to get at the quarterback position. I have a thing I like to say, and Fritz has heard me say this before. I don't care how much I worked out, how much I trained, I wasn't going to be Lawrence Taylor.
Right.
There's a certain amount of talent that God gave me. It's just for me to maximize that talent. And this is who I am. This is who I was. I don't care if I train 25 hours a day. This is who I was going to be. Jalen, I'm coming to the realization that Jalen has reached his ceiling of who he is as a quarterback. Now, we have to decide, meaning organization-wise, fan base-wise, is that good enough? Expecting it to somehow get better and he's going to somehow turn into this guy or that guy, that's not going to happen. It's not. So you're almost trying to win with it. You know what I'm saying? So at some point, when you don't win, then you say to yourself, well, it's reached its max. We got to decide, do we move on? That's just the nature of the business. Like, they've tried this with Jalen. They brought in different coordinators. They've tried to coach around it. They've had success some years. But when things aren't going well, meaning perfectly around him, it really highlights his deficiencies as a player.
At this point, yes.
Yes, and, at this point.
And I think what we keep doing is he has his entire body of work.
and we point to 22 as somehow that is.
Raise my hand. I was the main. I'm guilty of that.
But when you look at, and understandably, right? You saw it with your own eyes.
Yep.
But then you look at the entire body of work and you say, well, okay, 24 it was what it was. We know what 23 was. Mm-hmm. And we know what this year is. So we have three. Let's throw out his first year starting at the moment.
Right.
We have 3 years that show one kind of quarterback and 1 year that shows the other one. And that 1 year that shows the other one, I'll keep saying this, he ran 165 times that year. He does not prepare for, understandably,
whatever reasons,
doesn't want to do that anymore.
Yep.
So it just sort of you have all this evidence on one side and this smaller evidence on the other side, and logic would tell you the years where you have different coordinators and that seems like more evidence than the 22 years.
Yeah, listen, it's painfully obvious. Yeah. It's painfully obvious for those of us like myself who have held out hope and wanted to believe something to be differently or will show itself differently. And there are moments when it happens, but the larger body of work says it is what it is.
Yes.
Right. And that's not excluding the other things, the offensive line play, all that. It's not excluding that. I'm just talking about his play individually. I can look at his play individually and assess that from what everything else is.
I think the truth of this season is the reason that their offense isn't successful, if we're to point to one thing, the offensive line can't run the ball. Mm-hmm. The truth about Jalen, though, is that his skill set doesn't allow the team to make up for that particular issue.
Yeah.
And when that particular issue is there, everything's good. But when it's not, it's tough.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing this
year. And that's just sort of where we're at. And, again, they've been able to win with it. So it gives us that sort of belief that we can do it. The bottom line is we're watching it together. We see it. Like, we're watching it together, and we're hoping for something different, and it's not happening. And he's completely healthy. Right? He's playing in the same conditions other quarterbacks are playing in. And sometimes it isn't just the play design, it's the decision making within the play. Like you just said on the 2-point conversion.
Yeah.
Guys are open.
Well, and I know people will say that was supposed to be a draw. Okay, it's fine, but it got blown up. And Goddard, he was looking right at Goddard, and Goddard was open. Then he was looking right at AJ, and AJ was open.
And then throw it.
Yeah. And they were looking at him. It wouldn't have been a surprise, you know?
Yeah, like, you know. Whew, I told you, boy, I'm on standing eight now. I'm in the corner, man. I'm in a standing eight count, man. I'm telling you, man, that Friday game, man, that put me in a fetal position on the weekend.
We didn't hear from you
weekend.
Man.
I didn't want
even
to text
personally, y'all. We didn't hear from you.
I didn't want to text anybody, man. It was like, man, like, wow, this thing might be over with.
215-592-9494.
That's what I felt like. And leaving that game Friday, I'm like, God, man.
Matt in Easton, you're on WIP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First, I just want to start off by saying I'm glad I wasn't the last caller because I definitely wasn't prepared to go on air. I was wiping my eyes over here with those deep country lyrics that you laid down.
That's music.
But I want to say, Ike, I saw you play back in the day on less talented rosters than what we have in Philly right now.
Yeah.
And you guys all still gave max effort despite the record.
Yep.
Despite the roster limitations. What bothers me worse than even the losses right now is lack of effort, lack of fire that I'm seeing. You know, it's okay. It's okay to get ticked off. You know, don't get out of control and get penalties, but it's okay to get, you know, get ticked off and use it as fuel, you know, to get back at the guy. When I'm seeing dudes smiling, a defensive lineman smiling when he's getting pushed around all game, I mean, that's insane. But the mindset change is what I'm seeing. You know, we went from a place where we were going to find a way to win, regardless of what went on in that game, regardless from play to play. We were going to find a way to win. And it feels like it's changed a little bit now. It's going to something's going to go wrong. And as soon as they see that little bit going wrong, it's just a give up there a little bit. And that's not the championship mindset I saw last year. You know, it wasn't all smooth last year. We had that rough one against Jacksonville that N'Kobe comes up big with that pick in the end zone late in the game.
The Carolina game wasn't pretty. Yeah, the Carolina game wasn't pretty. Yeah.
And that grittiness – that togetherness, that grittiness, that tough-mindedness really carried us through so we can get our stuff together, and we started playing complete games then later in the year, in the biggest stage, of course. But it's like they forgot who they are. Like, they need to decide, like, right now. Like, not even next, not even against the Chargers. They need to decide right now in practice, in their building, in their house, wherever they are. They have to decide who they are, who they want to be this year. And
I agree.
I don't know. Just to preface my last question for you, because you were actually on the field. I've never been on the field at that level. Just no excuse to ever. I'm not making no excuses. No excuse to ever give up 28 first downs. No excuse to let a team put 10 to 17 on third down against you. Never an excuse to give up 281 rushing yards. But how much of what we saw Friday was the defense being on the field that long, almost 40 minutes on a short week?
Yeah, that was a lot of it. It was, and it's coming off that game against Dallas, where Dallas pretty much controlled the majority of the game as well.
Yeah.
From a time of possession standpoint. Yeah, you do wonder about that. You wonder if the short week wore the defense down. And I understand you want the offense to have sustained drives. I came away from that game watching it the second time. I was more irritated that the defense didn't get off the field on third downs.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then I was, the offense didn't do enough
really
to help them out. Yeah, I came away because there's something about it, Spike, appreciate the call. It's something about the deep pride thing. And it felt like the only thing Chicago was doing was just running stretch plays and cutting it back on us.
Yeah.
And it seemed like our two defensive tackles had no interest in whooping the guy in front of them. And, I mean, Zach Bond almost did he play Friday?
I don't remember hearing his name.
I don't even know if he played Friday.
So it's been a while since we've had an impact Zach Bond game.
So I just feel like when it's demoralizing when a team is constantly running the ball on you the way Chicago did. Two running backs for over 120 yards?
Yeah.
When has that happened to this team?
Now,
I'm sure it has, but I don't remember.
Now, to that extent, it hasn't happened. There have been games this year where teams have run on them.
Yeah.
The Rams ran on them.
Yep.
The Vikings ran on them. The Cowboys ran on them in that first game. Mm-hmm. The Giants ran all over them
in the game where we got whipped.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, here is Coach Sirianni.
Coach, thanks for taking the time for us today. We're going to start with Elliot and then go to John McMullen.
Hey, Nick, kind of a big picture coaching question here. I know you've said in the past that when you build your offense, you do it around the player's strengths and weaknesses. I was wondering as a coach how you balance running something that's their strength versus doing something at times that might be their weakness, but it's what needs to be run against a certain look, and how you get them to buy into something like that.
Yeah, I feel like our players can do a lot of different things. We have a lot of strengths on the team. So, we're able to do some different things because we got talented guys. But make no mistake about it, you always want to be doing the things that they do the best. Like if we asked them to do something we didn't think they could do, I think that I don't like even though it might draw up well on paper, against a certain team, there's different ways that you can attack, different looks. And so you're always thinking about what they do to do the best. That's why you're constantly evaluating the players. But like I said, we got talented guys that can do a lot of different things. But when you ask a guy to do something they can't do or that they might not be as good at, and it doesn't really matter how it draws up. So it is always a balance, but we're always trying to do the best thing schematically and also always trying to do the best thing, that they do well.
We'll go to John and then Ruben Frank.
Hey, Nick. When last we talked, you said you'd be evaluating everything. What have those evaluations looked like, especially since you have more time with the coaches, I would presume, than the players? Any changes or is it business as usual?
Yeah, again, I always want to be, answer your guys' question as much as I can. Obviously we're evaluating everything, and now you don't have as much time as you have in a normal bye week, but it's a mini bye. And so, everything was being evaluated. We'll think about some different things that we want to do, as all over the place, scheme, everything. But I don't think it benefits us for me to share in particular what that is. Just know this, we want to get this thing fixed, more than anybody, right? We live it, breathe it, and involved in it every waking second of our lives. So that's what we're working on, right now.
We'll go to Rube and then Tim McManus.
Hey, Nick. Happy Thanksgiving and all that. We've asked you a lot about Kevin and the play calling position, and your answer has consistently been the blame is never on one person. But you did change play callers on offense in 21 and on defense in 23. So I'm just wondering, why is this situation different?
Yeah, that's a good question. Again, I do believe that both of them are different scenarios. You know, I know it was a change of play caller, but it's slightly different, particularly on the offensive side. And so, yeah, again, it isn't just one person. It's the ultimate team game. And so, like I said, we're working through everything. You know, I have a lot of faith in all the players. I have a lot of faith in all the coaches. We got to execute it better, and we got to scheme it better. And they all can be true, and we got to call it better. It's every area that we need to improve on. That's why we always say we look internally through all these things. And like I said to you guys, like, if all that's not gelling, that to me, that's on me first. And it's my job to do whatever I need to do to help get it fixed. And that's what we're working on right now.
We'll go to Tim and then Dave Zangaro.
So just to clarify, Nick, Kevin still is the play caller.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. In respect to Jalen, his rushing numbers are down. Is it related to the fact that he wanted to rush less this year?
We're always thinking about how to protect Jalen and make sure that he is healthy for the long haul. Different plans have different reasons and of why you run different things. And like I said, we'll do everything we need to do to help this offense get rolling. Jalen's talented and, you know, running the football. He's talented and also holding the backside, you know, when he doesn't run the football. So a lot of different ways to do that. You know, again, always looking at everything and how we can improve.
We'll go to Dave and then Jeff McClain.
Nick, I'm sure you've heard the comparisons between this season and 2023. Not sure what you make of those, but when you think back to that 23 season, are there some lessons you take from it to avoid a similar outcome this year?
Yeah, I think that all the lessons, I think you saw a lot of that. The lessons we learned in 23 resulted in kind of what happened last year. So, of course, you always take lessons in everything of, you know, win, lose, or draw, you're always constantly trying to learn and get better. Sometimes that sting of the loss, or like you said, the 2023 season has even more impact, which is why I'm grateful for adversity and looking for an opportunity to get better from the adversity. And I think that most definitely those have lasting lessons. Won't be specific about it. I have a very specific thoughts of and written down of exactly what we learned and how we learned it and what we did for that. And so, you know, obviously that those lumps that you take, if you allow them to, can knock you down and keep you down, or those lumps that you take can, you know, let you rise up above everything.
We'll go to McClain and then Brooks Kubina.
Hey, Nick, you mentioned about, you know, scheming things for what players do best. There was another example of Grant Calcaterra being asked to block a defensive end one-on-one. I know it was on the backside, but it blew up the play. You know, we've seen this multiple times, and yet there he is doing it again. I'm wondering if that's the best use of Grant in that circumstance.
Yeah, on that play, and the one you're talking about, they obviously brought the nickel off the edge and kind of stunted the other guy down in there pretty far inside, which is going to be a tough block regardless of who's in right there. I got a lot of faith in Grant and the things that he can do. Like I said, it's always our job as coaches to first start them off in positions that they can succeed. You know, that would have been a hard one for, you know, and sometimes you got to draw it up. You know, sometimes it's drawn up. The loss is drawn up to execution. Sometimes the loss is drawn up to the scheme, and sometimes the loss is drawn up to, you might have loved your scheme, but they did something that, you know, made it really difficult to do. And I think that was the case right there. But like I said, have a lot of faith in him and what he can do. And he's been a part of a lot of winning football here. And he's been part of the reason why we've done a lot of good things here.
We'll go to Brooks and then Martin Frank.
Hey, Nick, you mentioned, not just one person. I'm just curious, from behind the scenes and the collaboration on offense, what are Scott Leffler and Parks Frazier bringing to, you know, you brought them in as well over the offseason to kind of help out with the offense. Where are they in the work of this? And, you know, how is that process working?
Yeah, this is a team sport. That's not just on the field. That's in your collaboration for when you start to think about plays and how to coach it and how to attack. And so, of course, you know, every guy is involved as we sit in there and go over the game planning. I know you asked particularly about Scott and about Parks, but you know, Jason Michael and Jamal Singleton and Aaron Moorhead and Eric Dickerson and, you know, you name it, everyone's in there talking through everything. And that's what you do. You know, you got to have a guy that's leading the charge, but those coaches meetings are so valuable and how you kind of go through that, because you want everybody on the same page. So you go through it with everybody together, and naturally everyone's looking at it at a slightly different vantage point. So everybody helps in those processes. It's just like saying, well, you know, same deal. Like, well, a practice squad guy, well, he's getting our guys ready on offense and defense to play the game this week. Like, every piece of a football organization is going to be important for the outcome and for what you become as a football team. And that includes coaches, practice squad players, you name it.
We'll go to Martin and then Olivia Reiner.
Hey, Nick. I know you kind of asked about this after the game, but now that you had a chance to review everything, what did you see in the run defense? I mean, in the four games before this, I mean, you guys have been really good against the run, and you know, for the Bears to have 281 yards rushing, what kind of broke down, do you think?
Yeah, again, never just one thing that you get into, and you know, obviously we're not going to say, hey, this is what hurt us or this is what we struggle with. I don't think that benefits us to talk through that. At the end of the day, though, you know, fundamentals come into play. At the end of the day, you know, having different things to help the guys out come into play, it's always going to be the same thing with that, you know. And so we have, you know, we got work to do on that, on the practice field when we get back out there. And in the meeting rooms, you know, as we're sitting in here right now, because even if the fundamentals, you know, aren't done well, you know, we look at ourselves as coaches and say, how do we, you know, do that better? You know, I know that's how the defensive coaches, when I met with them on the game, that's what they were thinking. How can I help get these guys better to accomplish what we're asking them to do? You know, so it's not just like a scheme thing and it's not just a fundamental thing. It's also how we think of it as coaches of how do we help them execute their fundamentals even better. With the drills that we do and the looks, you know, the different things, you know, in the meeting room that we do with them.
Thanks.
We have time for two more, so we'll go to Olivia and finish with Zach.
Hey, Nick, I wanted to follow up on Tim's question about the design quarterback runs. How do you balance that kind of desire for self-preservation with also like, hey, this is something that, you know, Jalen has been really good at throughout his career and has, you know, been able to kind of unlock other aspects of the offense through his ability to run. How do you kind of weigh those two things into your decision whether or not to call more designed runs for the quarterback?
Yeah, good question. You know, again, you're always thinking first about, you know, what the players do well and how do you keep them, you know, especially with your quarterback, how do you make sure that you're keeping them safe on those. Because even when you think about those, like there are quarterback runs you can run that are a little more safe than another quarterback run, but it's still football and you still put a risk at, you know, with every play, every snap that you take, and that's on a drop back too. But again, you know, you look at the defenses, how you want to attack, you look at, like I said, what you do well, how to protect the guys, and you're just looking for the best way to go about that. And, you know, I don't think anybody wants to come out of a game with, you know, with Jalen having 15 carries, designed carries. But, you know, again, we're looking at everything, and we'll see how that looks going forward.
We'll close out with Zach here.
Hey, good afternoon, Nick. Specifically, do you think this staff is creating schematic advantages on offense? And philosophically, do you think a schematic advantage is required to succeed on offense?
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, always as we go through game planning, we're always thinking about how we help guys do their jobs better, how we attack versus different looks, what you do well, what you don't do so well. That's done, you know, and but obviously as we think through it and look at it, you know, we're hypercritical on ourselves as well and say to ourselves, well, yeah, we might have thought this was the best going in, but as we look at it, you know, there we have to change some things too. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again and expect different results. So we're hypercritical on ourselves and, you know, we're looking for ways to help the guys more be able to execute better. And it's always goes hand in hand right there. So what necessarily worked for us in the past doesn't always mean that's going to necessarily work for you in the future. And so that's what this week, the weekend was about of, you know, looking at ourselves first, because we're going to ask our players to look at themselves and everyone looking internally. So right now, as far as your questions that goes, like, of course, none of us are doing a good enough job right now. We all have to look internally and get better. And when I say that, hopefully you guys always understand that I'm looking at myself very first, and I'm looking at the coaches to do the same thing, and obviously the players to do the same thing. And I'm, you know, I say hard on the coaches to make sure they're thinking about that as well, because I think that when you get into these adversities that you're in, like, you can band together as a football team, or you can, you know, you can get into a blame world. And if we're all looking internally, that's what it's all about. And so, yeah, we all got to do better. And that's just not, you know, that's everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga, here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, there he is, Nick Sirianni on the WIP Afternoon Show. One thing we'll play for you again. It was a follow-up question, I think, from Ruben Frank that asked if Petula was still the play caller.
McManus.
Was it McManus? And maybe I'm reading too much into it. It was a very quiet yes. There was a pause and a quiet yes.
Something's fishy.
Something smelled a little fish.
Y'all are crazy.
What?
Wait to hear the audio.
Yeah, wait to hear the audio.
Yeah.
Wait to hear it. All right. 205-592-9494 and let it out Monday. Whatever you're upset about these Philadelphia Eagles, do you think they're going to collapse? The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers, with locations in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. There's a Mark's Jewelers Minutes from Everywhere, online at marks-jewelers.com. Is Jalen Hurts an elite quarterback? 68.7% say no.
You're just rolling them all out today, aren't
well,
you?
Well, it's Fritz.
Just I know, that's what I'm talking
yeah,
to.
Okay.
You're just rolling them all out today, aren't you?
Just curious.
Donovan McNabb, who was definitely quarterback,
yeah,
joins us next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, Philly, fast, reliable internet can be yours when you switch to Fios. For a limited time, combine Fios home internet and one line of mobile for just $69.99 a month. Get unlimited welcome for $50 a month with auto pay plus taxes and fees when you bring in your phone. And you can add Fios 300 Mbps for $19.99 a month with auto pay, mobile plus home discount, and bonus discount. Visit your greater Philly area Verizon store today to get this limited time offer and switch to their reliable 100% fiber optic network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.